Whenever we travel as a group, four in a car, we usually, every 4 hours, we would stop for gas to fill up. And we would change drivers. For some reason, they would allow me to drive last. So what it is, I love driving so much. When I'm not driving, I go to sleep. Just thinking, waiting on my turn. So when everybody get tired, they called my name. Everybody was talking in the car, fine. 12 hours, doing well. And once they called my number and said, it's your turn during the graveyard shift. The graveyard shift is anytime after 3 a.m. Everybody was wide awake and silent. And I said, Lord, I know how the sinner feels. Leprosy was one of those diseases that separate people, families. Once you have it, you cannot be in the congregation. It is something that is contagious. I think I hear my deacon in the house. So I'll take my time and preach. It's one of those diseases that is very contagious, and therefore folks have to separate themselves from the community, from the church, because it's deadly and it's contagious. Here we find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem encountered 10 lepers. Most were Jews. And some were Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans were at one time one people. Under King David, the entire nation of Israel was one. But under Solomon's foolish son, the kingdom was divided. Israel with ten tribes to the north, and Judah with two tribes to the south. And so the nation that was once united now is divided. But pretty soon, as a result of idolatry, Samaria, which is the capital of the north, fell. To the nations around, and they pretty much lost their religion. They lost their identity. They lost their God. They lost everything. Judah remained faithful to God. They also went into Babylonian captivity and came out, but they came out with their God intact and their faith intact. And by the time of Christ's coming, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were backsliders. There are some Jews who are so holy. That they do not even put foot on Samaritan soil. The division was that palpable and and visible. But then, when they are lepers, they ate together. They slept in the same garbage heap together. They were in the same ICU unit together. There was no distinction between them. During slavery, during the days of segregation, they would have white fountain and black fountain, colored fountain. Leprosy creates separation and distance among people. Sin enslaves, fear enslaves, injustice enslaves, addiction enslaves, systems of oppression enslaves and separates. The lepers were not technically slaves, but they were bound. Bound by disease, bound to stigma, bound to isolation. We have a challenge as a people. The impact of slavery is a leprosy among us. We're still dealing with its impact. Somebody asks for reparation. I don't think that's the solution. But we're still grappling with it psychologically. These 10 men called out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy upon us." Jesus responded by telling them, "Go show yourself to the priest." According to the laws of the land or in Israel, when one is healed of leprosy, he would go to the priest, and the priest would pretty much give him a clean bill. Look at him, and the signs are gone. He's well. Give him a clean bill to return him to his family and to society. Go show yourselves to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Freedom began when they walked. I said, freedom began when they walked. Freedom began when Rosa Parks stood her ground and sat. It started when Dr. King walked, Jesse walked. For us in Jamaica, Morant Bay Rebellion, freedom began when somebody stood up. Folks call them rebels. Freedom began when someone revolted. Sound like bad word, but freedom began when somebody stood up. Somebody walked. Here it is. Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. And as they walked, they were cleansed. The Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments. What God is looking for are individuals who will obey his voice. Redemption is not only something done for us. It calls forth obedience from us. They had to move toward restoration before they felt restored or became restored. And this speaks powerfully to all who labor for freedom in our world today. Throughout history, men and women have worked, often at great cost. One of my favorite persons in history is William Wilberforce. A white man. But during slavery, he was one of the champions of black people in the British Parliament. He fought for the abolition of slavery in the British Isles. And finally, it was accomplished in 1833. Long before 1883 was men like William Wilberforce. Way before Martin Luther King and Marcus Garvey. They were men, white men, who were convicted and convinced that slavery is a sin. These individuals, we need to remember them. We need to honor them. We need not forget them. The Bible says that as they went and realized that they were cleansed, the nine just took off. Not sure where they went. But one, when he realized that he was healed, came back, returned. And the Bible says that he was a Samaritan. That detail is not accidental. Samaritans were considered outsiders, religious suspect, socially despised, and yet the outsider becomes the example of gratitude. The nine received the gift. The one returned to the giver. There is a difference between receiving redemption and living redeemed. Gratitude is the evidence that redemption has reached the heart. The nine were healed physically. The one was transformed spiritually. Jesus asks, where were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? This is not a question of information. It is a question of reflection. Where are we? Have we received mercy but forgotten to return? Have we accepted freedom but failed to live gratefully? Redemption from I started off with that story of how I felt driving or at the wheels with my friends after an accident. But how is it between Jesus and yourself? You were once lost in sin, and Jesus took you in, and now you're somebody. And you have forgotten from whence you have come, then not just from whence you've come, but you have forgotten the giver. We can get to the stage as a church and as a people where we forget where we have come from and who has brought us here thus far. You can remember a time when you stood at a distance and Jesus saw you. You know, the Bible is sweet. Sometimes we distance ourselves from each other. Our sin distances us from God, but the beauty about this is that God sees us. Jesus saw them at a distance. And then they walked in obedience. They were cleansed. One returned and fell at Jesus' feet. Redemption moves us from distance to devotion. The leper who returned did 3 things. The Bible says he praised God with a loud voice. Now, I don't like noise. Blame slavery. Some of us like it quiet. But we're not talking about preference this morning. When God has done something for somebody and they can't keep silent, we shouldn't be offensive. When someone comes in and they said, praise the Lord, they missed an accident this morning, praise the Lord. The doctor gives them day to live and they outlive the doctor's appointment. We praise God for that. My uncle, my granduncle is watching now from Virginia. Sorry, Uncle G. The doctor 4 years ago gave him 6 months to live. And his wife stood beside him, and many of the recommendations that they gave, she said, no way. There's no way you're going to touch his body at this age and do anything. And as a result of their negotiation and finding a term that she will accept, the wife will accept, he's still alive today. Had they taken all the recommendation that the doctor gave initially, he would have been dead in 6 months. And so today they worship God every Sabbath in Virginia. Whenever they don't go to church, they're right here at Shalom. And so we praise God. It says they praise God with a loud voice. There is no sophistication in praise. You know where the sophistication comes from? The performance among ourselves. We like to, but there's a songwriter says, may I lose myself and find it in Jesus Christ. May we lose ourselves and find it in Christ. When we come, when the audience is only God, we can be our true selves. What does someone say? The Bible says he praised God with a loud voice. He fell at Jesus' feet. And the third thing he did is to thank Jesus. You and I are here today, not because of an act of Congress, but because the Spirit of the living God has worked on the conscience of some of our people. I must admit, I've washed my hand on some. I've washed my hand on some. Because as the devil is real, he do have agents. He do have agents who are against freedom. He do have agents who just suppress. But I thank God today we serve a God who is a God of freedom. So whatever binds us in terms of leprosy, in regards to sin, or in regards to slavery, we do have a freedom fighter on our side in Jesus Christ, who has come to set every captive free. And so as we worship each day, and we give God thanks for physical freedom, psychological freedom, mental freedom, freedom, spiritual freedom in all its form. We give back to Him. Who has given to those 10 lepers, given back their lives. What have you and I done with the life that God has given us? The Bible says something about the one that returned. Remember, all 10 were cleansed. But he said to the one that returned, that your faith, because he returned to give thanks and to worship, as a result of that, your faith has made you whole. Which says to me that we are not whole until we have worship. We are not whole until we have given God thanks. We are not whole until we have recognized to whom everything that we are given comes from. Or peace. Or freedom. Or health. Mental, spiritual, and otherwise. Comes from. I was Let me skip that. I thought about my wife. Let me skip that. Leprosy, slavery, and sin. Three things that I believe God takes personal attention to these things. You know, when we are crippled by disease, and it was God's intent that Adam and Eve would never experience sickness, separation, and even death. It was never God's intent. And while we are in that experimental phase where of Adam, there is coming a day when you and I will, if we are faithful, will experience the fullness, the wholeness of what it means to be free. And so, Father, we thank you today that you have freed us not just for us to live our own lives, but you have freed us so that we can return to you, the giver of all life. Father, today, another Black History Day, we as a people celebrate you. Yes, we oftentimes feel like the garbage heap. People come and they spit on us, they walk on us. They use us as the building block for their economic situation. We buy everything that they make. And they sometimes treat us like garbage. But Father, we are grateful today that you one day became garbage. You took on flesh. You didn't go to the palaces of the day, but you went to the ghettos of the day. You went to the Gazas of the day. And one day you are coming back. Today we can stand proud. Today we can keep our heads high as a people. Not because of what we have been given, but because what you have given us. We are somebody in Jesus Christ. And so each day we live like that. May we forever celebrate God. May we never forget God. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name.